At that time Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus, and said unto his servants, This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. And it's very interesting to note that those King James translators, when they translated the Word of God, translated that Baptist word there, John the Baptist. That was the word immersion, immersionist, or it would have been if they hadn't translated it. And not a one of them fellows was Baptist that did it. And that's what I was talking about this morning. There's a bigger hand than theirs on them writing this book, putting this book together. And the word Baptist is the right word. When we baptize people, the word baptize means immerse. In some churches, they sprinkle water on your head. That's not the meaning of the word. The word means immerse. It means stick under, bury it, to bury it. And it's a picture of the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. It's a picture of them putting Jesus in the ground. When Jesus died, they didn't lean him up against a tree and sprinkle dirt on his head. They put him underneath it, in the ground, in a hole. And that's why we put people under the water, because that's what the word means. Amen? And it said he was John the Baptist. The reason it called him John the Baptist, because he got people saved, repented, and they baptized them. All right? Verse 3, For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. Boy, there's a situation that'd be on Geraldo, ain't it? John said unto him, It is not lawful for thee to have her. This man married his brother's wife, people. Man stole his brother's wife and married her. It didn't say she was divorced. He married his brother's wife. That's what it said. Notice what he said here. John said, That ain't right. You can't have your brother's wife. Then he said, verse number 5, And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude, because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them, and pleased Herod. Whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, Give me here John Baptist's head and a charger. And the king was sorry. Amen. Nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them which sat at meat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her, and he sent and beheaded John in the prison. And his head was brought in a charger, that's like a big platter, and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took up the body. She had his head. They took up his body and buried it and went and told Jesus. I'd like to preach to you for a few minutes this evening on the subject, the kind of preaching that got a preacher's head cut off. The kind of preaching that got a preacher's head cut off. This world has always hated preachers that preach like that man preached. The world can tolerate a nice reverend or minister who's trying to clean up the community, save the bugs or gnats or fleas or something, and promote love and cooperation among everybody. The world can handle that. The world cannot and will not tolerate a preacher who preached like this man here. The man that got his head cut off, and the kind of preaching that got his head cut off. John's preaching cost him his head. He was not voted man of the year in his community. Everybody didn't plant flowers on him and brag about him what a wonderful citizen he was. They actually put him in jail and had his head taken off of his body. Now basically, the record that we have of John's preaching basically consisted of two things. Number one, as I mentioned there a minute ago, of course, this is really number two, but since I read about it, I'll say it first. He preached to that white man. He said, Listen, King, you're living wrong. You just can't just steal your brother's wife and marry her like that. He said, It's not right. It's not lawful. So he went right into the king. He told the king where he was sinning. He said, It's wrong. He said, It's wrong. He said, It's wrong. You've committed adultery. Now, I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, adultery got him in trouble preaching against adultery. It always has been wrong. It always has been. It always will be. There'll never be a time when it's right for a person to cheat on their husband or wife or take another husband, somebody else's husband or wife. That's never been right. Amen? I know what the day we're living in. I know the day we're living in, they say it's healthy for your marriage to have an affair. They say, well, it's all right to sleep around a little bit here and there as long as you have it all worked out. No, it's not. It's not. It's not right. It's wicked. It's wicked. It's sleaze. It's slime. It's scum. It's dirty. It's low down. It's cheap. It's rotten. It's black. It's not right. You say, boy, it sure don't sound like it is in the world today. Well, that's the kind of preaching that got John in trouble too. And that woman got mad. She got his head just first chance she got. They say one time, somebody said one time, the worst enemies a man will have preaching the truth is high society women and jealous preachers. The worst enemies I'll have preaching is high society women and jealous preachers. Jealous preachers because they don't like you, because maybe some of their church members like you or something like that. And high society women because they can't control you. And the high society women hate a preacher that they can't control. They want a nice little nice fella. And they say, oh, isn't our preacher sweet? Well, old John came in. He'd reach in his pocket and pull out a chocolate-covered grasshopper. And brother, he'd take a crack off of that thing. Crunchy, crunchy, man, with chocolate all over it. That might not be so bad, brother. If you had his leathern girdle around him, whatever that was, I ain't got the slightest idea. And he raised up the King James Bible and said, you're sinning. You're wrong. It's wicked. Amen? That's right. And then John's preaching consisted of repentance. That's why they hated him. He preached repentance. The Bible said John came preaching the baptism of repentance. Now, that's never been popular. You know what he was saying? Quit your sinning. 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 Every time he opened his mouth, it was quit your sinning. I remember one time I heard about this preacher, and he preached on this sin and that sin and this sin and that sin and this sin and that. Preached on sin all the time and how you ought to quit it. And a lady stopped him one morning at the door, and she said, preacher, why don't you ever preach on love? How come you don't never preach on love? So he said, okay, ma'am, I'll pray about that. So the next Sunday morning he got up and he said, ladies and gentlemen, it has been brought to my attention that some of you are a little upset with me because I've not been preaching on love. I want to announce to you this morning that I'm beginning a series of sermons on the subject of love. I hope that you enjoy it. My first sermon today is Love Not the World. And boy, he said how you're supposed to not love this world and how you're supposed to hate worldliness. He got on everything that moved. He preached against everything that breathed. He said everything. And boy, they stuffed that out. And the next Sunday he got up and he said, continuing my sermons on the subject of love, my second one is, if you don't love your brother, you don't love God. And boy, he got on that about how people shouldn't have hard feelings against each other, how you ought to love each other. And boy, he went on that about two or three Sundays. And that lady met him at the back door and shook his hand and said, preacher, that's enough preaching on love. Start preaching on sin again. Amen. I mean, she didn't want that. She just didn't want him getting on her sin. John the Baptist said, quit your sinning, quit your sinning, quit your sinning, quit your sinning, quit your sinning. I'm telling you what this generation needs is a bunch of old leather-lunged preachers that ain't scared of losing their job or not afraid of losing a salary and get up and say, this is wrong. This is wrong. I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, this morning, it's still wrong to do the things that were wrong. It's still wrong to lie. It's wrong for you to mess around on your job with somebody you're not married to. Did you hear what I said? It's wrong for you men to be hateful to your wives. It's wrong for you wives to be a smart aleck to your husband. It's wrong for you kids to be disobedient to your parents. It's wrong not to tithe. It's wrong not to love God. Hey, it's a sin to show your nakedness in public. It's a sin to drink liquor. It's a sin to smoke pot. It's a sin to drink beer. And anything else you want to add on there. He said, quit it. Quit your sinning, quit your sinning, quit your sinning, quit your sinning, quit your sinning. People tell young people, they say, now you're not supposed to fuss at young people. There. Yeah, you are too. You're supposed to preach the devil out of them. Young people are just like old people. They all need a devil preached out of them.
All people need the devil preached out of. We all need to be told we're doing wrong. I'm not talking about a spiritual smart aleck. I'm talking about just lowering the boom and dropping the hammer and say, this is wrong. This is wrong. That got the preacher's head cut off. That ain't going to fly too good in this generation. But it's worse in our generation than it was in John. Now, I want to tell you folks something this evening. I'm going to give you a short outline. If I can ever get off this introduction, I'm going to preach to you the message. Now listen. Let me tell you people something. I get accused a lot of times. I get accused of going both ways. Some people say I'm too hard on sin. Some people say I'm too easy on sin. I got news for you people this evening. I hate sin. I don't believe it's right to sin. Listen, if a man sins, I might go to him and put my arm around him and help him and try to get him right. That don't mean I'm approving of his sin. Anybody that knows me knows that I don't approve of sin. People say, well, Brother Danny, so-and-so done that. Brother Danny, just you're out of your ever-loving mind, brother. I'm telling you, God hates sin. And if I'm right with God, I hate sin. And if you're right with God, you hate sin. The way you know you're backsliding is when you get a light, flippant attitude towards sin. It's wicked. It's rotten. It nailed Jesus to the cross. And we need to make up our mind that we're going to quit anything that's wrong in our life by the grace of God. Sin. All right, let me tell you what John preached. He preached repent. He said, if you want to get in this water, here's the River of Jordan here tonight. It ain't really the River of Jordan, but Lake James, I ain't know it. It'd be a long way to go over there tonight, so we'll just use this tonight as a picture of the River Jordan. He said, if you want to get in that water, he said, you've got to show me that you have repented. He said, you've got to show me that you have repented, man. You've got to straighten up. Are you doing right? He said, if I can't see some kind of difference in your life, get out of here and go show me something before you come down here to get baptized. William's laughing at. Number one, let me say two or three things right quick. God will call you to preach one of these days and I'll make fun of you. Number one, what repentance is not. I don't know what that is. I feel like a hair on my tongue and I can't stand that. Number one, what repentance is not. You better hush, I'm telling you. The Lord's on my side. What repentance is not. I'm going to tell you what repentance is not. Repentance is not tears. You know, a lot of people, I could name people tonight that you know from the news media and stuff like that cried a lot of tears but didn't repent. Amen? You know why a lot of people cry tears? Because they got caught. I don't know people, you know, a lot of man run around on his wife. Then she catches, oh, honey, oh, I'm sorry. I repented. He never was sorry till he got caught. That's not godly sorrow. That the Holy Ghost produces godly sorrow. It's the only one that can make you sorry that you've sinned against God, not just because you got caught. Everybody they haul into the police station is sorry, but it's not real. They're just sorry they got caught. Just cause some people cry because they're drunk. Some people cry because their feelings are hurt. Some people cry because they're embarrassed. That tears are not necessarily repentance. I'll tell you something else that isn't necessarily repentance. It's trembling. Trembling. The Bible said in Acts 24:25 that Felix trembled. Felix trembled. That man of God stood there and looked at him and didn't compromise. He told him where he was wrong. And Felix shook in his shoes. He was so afraid of that man of God, but he didn't repent. Repentance is not trembling. I've seen people stand in church and shake till their face was blushed and their hands were on the back of the pew nearly turning white, and they were standing there holding that seat like that and scared and turn and walk out the door. That ain't repentance. Repentance is not tears. Repentance is not trembling. Repentance is not trying to do better. In Mark 6:20, Herod observed him. Some people try to bargain with God. You know, there's a lot of people that come in, they'll sober up, been drunk all weekend, and they'll sober up and say, now God, I tell you what I'll do. I'll go to church Sunday. And what they're saying is, honey, I'll go to church. I'm sorry I'll never go out with that old hussy again. If you'll just, I'll go out. And what they're saying is, if you won't, fuss at me for this, and you won't get mad at me for this. I'll trade you off, God, and I'll go to church a couple of Sundays in a row. God's not interested in your bargaining. God's not interested in your deals that you try to cut with Him. You ever heard, I remember years ago there was an old country song, and I don't remember the name of it, but it went something like, the Lord knows I'm sinning, and sinning ain't right, but me and the good Lord gonna have us a good talk later tonight. You remember that old song? How many old timers remember that? Okay. Well, you know what that song was? There's another fellow come out with a song. He said, me and Jesus, we got our own thing going. Me and Jesus, we got it all worked out. You know what that is? That's a bunch of hogwash. Yeah. You know what that is? That's a man out running around chasing women. And then he said, now me and the Lord's going to talk it all over. Well, you might, but the Lord ain't hearing a word you say. Hey, He wants you to come and say, God, I'm sorry. God, that's not right. God, people say, well, I just can't help it. That's what old Ice-T or Ice Cube or one of them perverts said. He said, I just can't help it. I see these chicks running around. I just can't control myself. Yeah, we know you pervert. You need to get right with God and let the Lord bring your emotions under control. I'm telling you, you got to repent. Trembling ain't repentance, and trying to do bargains with God ain't repentance. You say, well, I'll give a big offering on the school. That don't impress the Lord. He's not interested. You say, I'm going to put my kids in a Christian school. I'm going to see that they have the best. Maybe God will look over my sin. No, He don't. No, He don't. You'd be surprised. People's got their kids in a Christian school. Don't even go to church. They think that's going to make it all right. No, it won't, buddy. Chicken's going to come home the roost one of these days. All right, secondly, I want to show you this. What repentance is. What repentance is. Simply, here's what John preached. Simply, it's an honest confession. An honest confession, number one. Number two, it's an honest sorrow. Number three, it's an honest forsaken. The prodigal son is your perfect example. Luke chapter 15, he found himself down there in the hog pen. He'd been partying, wasted all his money, lived it up, lived a wicked life. I mean, done drunk up all his finances and everything. One day it hit him down there in the hog pen. He said, I'm in a mess. I'm a leaving this mess. He noticed. He didn't call home and say, Daddy, what kind of deal would you give me if I come back? He didn't call home and say, Daddy, if you'll do thus and thus, I'll come back home. Buddy, he got up out of that slot and out of that mess and said, I don't even know if my daddy will have me or not, but I'll tell you one thing, I'm leaving this junk here. It's gone. I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it. I'd rather die than to live another day like this. That's repentance. That's repentance. In the Catholic Church, you're taught whatever you do wrong that week, you go to confession. You confess your sins through a knot hole to a nuthead on the inside. Never thought of that before, but that's probably really. And you're in there, he probably in there reading a magazine. And you're in there saying, oh, Father, forgive me for I've sinned. Oh, yeah, what'd you do? Well, I went out there and I went drunk Friday night, and I knew I shouldn't have, but I overdid it and puked and rolled over in it and everything else. And he says, okay, my son, say 25 Hail Marys and put a little money in the box out there for the loved ones and all of that. Let me tell you something. God's not impressed one bit with that. God don't care about that. When you've got it in your mind, you're going to go right back and do the same thing next weekend. I'm not preaching sinless perfection. Hey, I don't think there's nobody in here that lives a perfect life. I know I don't. But I'll tell you one thing, I want to. I want to. And when I do wrong, it bothers me. It bothers me when I sin. You know what you can do? You can keep on hardening your heart and hardening your heart. Your conscience can get to where you can just drown out the voice of conviction. You young people, you better be careful playing with sin. You say, well, I can do this and nobody don't ever know it. And all this, and I'll just keep it hidden. Nobody don't know what I'm doing. God knows what you're doing. And He knows. Listen, you say, well, we'll never live right. We'll never be perfect till we get to heaven. But that don't give you no excuse just to waller in sin. We ought to make up our mind, hey, I messed up 100 times, but by the grace of God, I'll never do it again. Amen? Sure. That's just old-fashioned Bible preaching, people. We're supposed to do our best to live for God. An honest confession. Al Johnson, they said many, many years ago, when he was 19 years old, fell out in Kansas. He participated in a bank robbery. And in this bank robbery, he was just with some other guys, and they got away with it. Never did get caught. Spent the money. Years later, he married a Christian girl. And then later, somebody gave him a tract. Years later, and they read this tract, and this tract said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he read that and got under conviction. He said, hey man, that's for me. I can be pardoned. And he got down, asked God to forgive him, and said, oh Lord, save me and forgive me. And he got saved, and that thing started bothering him. Started bothering him what he did when he was 19 years old. And he finally prayed about it and told his wife. He said, honey, there's something I never did tell you. And he confessed it to his wife. Then he went back to the bank and went back, brother, and he went back and told him, he said, I am the man. And it made the news and everything. They could not believe that a man come back and repented over something that he'd done when he was a teenager. Buddy, people were impressed, and they said, that man's got the real thing. It's amazing what that repentance does in a person's heart. Tell you what, brother, that's the real thing. An honest sorrow for sin. Old John said, you need to realize your sin, what your sin done, and we need to realize what sin done to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, people, it ought to hurt us when we sin against God. It ought to bother you. If you got to the place in your life where you can just sin and it don't bother you, you're getting on dangerous ground. You're getting on dangerous ground. You play with sin, it's just like a vine. It'll get around your feet, tangle you up where you can't get out. It's like you're getting swept away in an undercurrent of water in a river or something. It'll get a hold of you and you can't get loose. And I'll tell you what else it is. It's an honest forsaking of sin. You know what? The father saw the prodigal son coming home. He saw it. He didn't go down there after him. He saw him coming home. That let him know that he had left that mess down there. Then he ran to meet him, hugged his neck. A lot of husbands, honey, I'll never do it again. Mm-hmm. Then soon as she smooths over and unpacks her clothes, there you go right back again, right? And then you do it wrong again. She's threatening to leave you. Honey, I'll never do it again. Oh, here you go through the same cycle. You know what you need to do, friend? You need to get on your face before God and forsake that sin. Number three, who should repent? Who should repent? John said, repent! Repent! Turn away! Who should repent? Number one, churches should repent. Bible said in Revelation 2 and verse 5, he told that church there, he said, you better repent, lest I come and take your candlestick out of its place. You know the scripture. He told them churches in the book of Revelation, churches, repent! Churches, repent! I want to say to New Man Baptist Church tonight, I know there's thousands of other churches. You say, well, Brother Danny, there's a lot of churches in America that need to repent. Yes, sir, they sure are. But I'm not preaching to them thousands. I'm preaching to us. We need to repent. We need to repent. Number one, brother, we need to repent. And he said, you know what he said? He said, remember, repent, and remember and do the first works. Hey, how about some of you in here tonight? How about us as a church remembering how we used to love, maybe? Maybe some of you people in here, when you first got saved, you loved everybody. Oh, you'd walk around hugging everybody's neck. You didn't have a thing against nobody in the church. You just loved everybody. Some of you young people, listen to me. Some of you, when you come back from camp, you loved everybody in the youth group. You just hugged them. You didn't have a thing. But little by little, sin's got in your heart, and you've had hard feelings toward this one and hard feelings toward that one. You're mad at this one and mad at that one. You need to repent and do the first work and have that love for each other like you once had. You say, well, Brother Danny, somebody hurt my feelings. It don't matter. You hurt the Lord's feelings. He forgives us. He looks over our sin. We ought to look over everybody else's sin. Amen. You ought to be able to, listen to me, you ought to be able to walk up to anybody in this room tonight, hug them, tell them you love them, and look right square in their eyes when you say it. There's not a person in this room, I'm not lying neither. Lord knows my heart. There's not a person in this room that I can't look right in your eyes. Brother, when you see somebody coming, if you have to do this, something ain't right somewhere. We're brothers and sisters. We're all going to heaven. We're going to live together forever and ever and ever. That'll hinder your fellowship with God. It'll hinder your prayer life. It'll hinder your blessing. You just need to get that old bitterness out of your heart. Repent. Repent. You know what they say, to live above with the saints we love. Oh, won't that be glory? But to live below with the saints we know, oh, that's another story. We're all going to love each other in heaven, ain't we? I'm telling you, we need to repent in our zeal for God. Boy, some of you folks, it breaks my heart to see you just sit there and not get involved. Thank God you're coming to church, and that's wonderful. But you're just like us, a spiritual zombie. You don't get a blessing. You don't enjoy the Word of God like you ought to. You're not doing anything. You're not witnessing. You're not praying. And I love you, and God bless you. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. It just hurts me as a preacher to see sometimes you just get cold. And I can see it by looking at your face. How you just something just come over you like a cloud. I don't know if it's sin in your heart. I don't know if you just got away from God. I don't know what it is. But we need to repent in our zeal for God. Remember when you used to care about souls? Remember when you worked with people at work and you wondered whether they was going to heaven or hell? You had a burden for them, you prayed for them, and now you just walk right by them and never even care where they're going when they die. We need to repent and get our hatred for sin back. The Bible said, because sin would abound, the love of many will wax cold. Buddy, that's the day we're living in. I'm going to tell you something tonight. As I said this morning, there's always somebody in the church sinning and messing up. You can't have a church this side without the devil just knocking people down every now and then. By the grace of God, I thank God that we're in good a shape as we are. I want to tell you, and I'm going to preach a message on it, on some of these things pretty soon, but I want to tell you something, brother. When we hear about a brother or sister falling, when we hear about a brother or sister in Christ falling, you know what we ought to do? We ought to weep. We ought not to get on the phone and say, did you hear about so-and-so? I knew they was a hypocrite. Brother, it ought to break our heart. We ought to say, oh God, the devil discouraged so-and-so. The devil knocked so-and-so down. God, this hurts the cause of Christ. It hurts the work of the church. God, help us. Let me show you that in the Bible. Turn to 1 Corinthians 5. In 1 Corinthians 5, there was a man who was committed fornication with his own mother-in-law, or stepmother rather. And oh my soul, how sickening, how pitiful, how awful it was. And Paul rebuked that church, and he told them this. He said, you should mourn. You should mourn. Look at it, chapter 5. I was just reading it recently, day or yesterday sometime. He said these people just come together and have a big time, not even worry about it. But he said, your glorying is not good. Verse 6. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Sin's like a disease. Sins will spread. And he said this. He said, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Look at verse number 2. He said, and ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that had done this deed might be taken away from you. He said, when a man's living in open, wicked sin, and he claims to be a Christian, the church ought to pray and cry to God. Not get around and sneak off and say, well, I tell you one thing, I never had no confidence in him to start with. If the truth is known, anybody in here that backslid, all of us could point back to little things in their life and say, oh yeah, I remember one time when I saw them uptown and they were talking to a police. I knew it right then. Yeah, you're just trying to sound spiritual and make yourself look good. Isn't that the truth? The truth is, if anybody in here backslid, we could all look back to things in their lives and say, yep, knew it all along, when we ought to be on our knees saying, oh God, body of Christ. By the way, young people, that's why when you stand up here and sing in this choir, or you stand up at school, you take a Bible, you give out a tract, listen, you've got the eyes of sinners on your life. Yeah. Buddy, it ain't, hey, don't you girls wave your hand and say praise the Lord up here to me, and then walk down the street looking like some prostitute from New York City. Yeah. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Hey, that's a disgrace. You say, Brother Danny, you'll run them all off. Well, we'll see about that next Sunday. You come back. I'll run you off, maybe. Hey, hey, you men. Don't sit in here and sing in a choir or just teach Sunday school or say something for God and then talk, cuss like a sailor on your job during the week where people ain't got no confidence in you. It's a serious thing to say I'm a child of God. Our hatred for sin. John didn't cut them no slack. True repentance looks on the past with a weeping eye and looks on the future with a watchful eye so you won't mess up again. No man is rich enough to buy back his past, young people. You do something now, you live with it the rest of your life. Who should repent? Churches should repent. Who should repent? Backsliders should repent. Jeremiah 3 said, "Turn, O backsliding children. You'll never be happy. You'll drag others down." I tell you what, brother, it's more than being sorry for your sin. It's being sorry enough to quit it. It's not crocodile tears. It's just saying, I'm sorry enough to quit it. I'm quitting tonight. Tonight. Quit. You say, "Well, Brother Danny, I quit before and then I went back and messed." Well, quit again. And if you ever mess up again, quit again. The truth is, there's nobody in here that's ever totally quit sinning. We're just trying to do our best and live for God every day of our life. Ain't that right? Ain't nobody perfect. Nobody's living a sinless life. Anybody in here not sinned in the past 6 months? I want to shake your hand after the service. I'd love to shake your hand. You're crooked as Johnny Cochran. From idols. Turn to God from idols. Turn to God from idols. See? There's this philosophy going around nowadays that when a person gets saved, it doesn't matter if they repent or not. That's a false philosophy. That's false doctrine. Your repentance isn't what saved you. It's your faith in Christ's blood that saves you. But the second you put your faith in Christ's blood, you have to turn from your sins, turn to Christ. Amen? You listen to me? You turn from sin to God. That's what repentance is. They said one time, I'll say this and I'm going to quit. The governor of a certain state went down to the penitentiary. And every once in a while it gets so full they have to pardon somebody or turn somebody loose something. And he went down there and he talked to me and he said, "Now, man," he said, "now, we're going to close our meeting now, and I've made my speech. And any of you that want to stay afterwards and talk to me a little bit," he said, "I'll be glad to talk to you, and it'll be in confidence. You won't have to worry about me telling anybody or anything like that." So a big crowd of men stayed after, and they wanted to talk to him about their lives. And the first one come in, and he said this. He said, "I was framed. I judged. They sold me down the river. I was set up. I shouldn't be here. I don't need to be here. You got to let me out. I don't even supposed to be in jail." Next come in, said the same thing. Next come in, said the same thing. Every one of them fellows said the same thing. "I didn't deserve this. I got cheated. I've got a bum rap. They lied on me. Them other guys just as guilty as I was. I shouldn't be here. Let me out. I don't deserve to be here." Finally, one fellow come in. He said, "Judge, I'm guilty as you can be." He said, I was guilty of everything they accused me of, and I'm ashamed of what I've done." He said, "I'm sorry for what I did." And he said, "I believe that I paid my just debt to society. And if I ever get another chance, I'm going to be a good citizen and help society." And the judge pardoned that man. Because he's the only one that admitted that he was wrong. And was willing to... He said, "That man's learned his lesson. That man's learned his lesson." Have you learned yours? "Well, Brother Danny, you just don't know. It's because her..." No, you can't blame your sins on your wife or your sister or your husband. You can't blame your sins on nobody but you. Nobody makes you sin. Nobody makes me sin. We can point our finger and say, "Well, if they hadn't have done this, No. The truth is, they're going to answer for theirs and you're going to answer for yours. Amen? Now you listen.
You are responsible for your sin. The thing we need to do is do like old John said. Repent. That's the kind of preaching that God's preacher's head cut off. May cost us ours before it's over with. You can literally get killed in some places for saying what I've said here tonight. Literally. You go out in the middle of New York City and stand downtown or in the middle of Atlanta somewhere in the middle of the night and say just what I've said here tonight, you'll never come out alive, brother. Unless God protected you by a miracle. I'm going to kill somebody in a minute. But you can't. It'll get your head cut off. You got to fight and stay alive. It's something else. That's the kind of preaching that'll get your head cut off. Now, how about you tonight? You need to repent? Boy, I tell you, I'm going to get close to God. I want to get to where my heart burns for God. Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. You that are going to be baptized, go ahead and get ready. We're going to have an invitation tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Now there might be somebody in here while many are coming to the altar. You just might want to come into the altar and say, I'm going to repent over something tonight. I'm just going to repent. If you need to come, come on. Amen. You don't pet sin, you repent of sin. You don't have a little pet sin in your life and say, well, I know it's wrong, but everybody sins, and it ain't no big deal. It is big deal. There ain't no good sins. There ain't no white sins. They're all wicked. They're all black. They're all ugly. God's dealing with your heart tonight about sin. Right here is the place. Do something about it. Put it on the altar. Put it on the altar tonight. Amen. Just put it on the altar. We're not going to sing. Just going to have a few minutes of invitation. God may be dealing with you tonight. If He is, my advice to you is just get out of your seat. Make your way down. Get things right with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because one of these days you won't have this opportunity. And you say, preacher, I need to do some business with God tonight. I need to do some business with God. He's going to judge you one day. The Bible said we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Give an account of the deeds done in our body, whether it be good or evil. Whew. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Buddy, that ain't talking to lost people. That's God's people. There's a terror of the Lord. God dealing with your heart tonight? Old John preached, repent, buddy. Repent. You say, well, you've made me feel awful tonight. That's good. That's the first step. The next step is for you to come down near the altar and unload all that guilt. Preaching will put you under conviction. Then you got to come to God and get it right and unload that guilt. Will you do it? Come on. Just get out of your seat. Come on. Maybe you're not right with God. Maybe you need to come. Maybe you're a sinner. Never been saved by the grace of God. You need to get saved tonight, sir? Come on. You need to get saved, ma'am? Young person? Come on. Just get down here and get saved, man. Well, you ain't got but one life. Don't blow it. God may be dealing with your heart. Sure may. May be dealing with your heart. Why don't you let Jesus have His way? Will you do it? While those are praying, we'll wait and remain in prayer just another minute or two. Let God work on your heart tonight. Amen. Let the Lord have His way in your heart. We're going to pray. God's speaking to your heart tonight. Let's pray. Father, do what ought to be done in our lives, our hearts. Pray, dear God, that You'd move here this evening. Oh, Lord, You're able. You're able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we can ask or think. Now have Your way in this invitation. God bless the remainder of the service. Lord, please, for Your glory, have your way. We love you. Praise you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. These